All right. Hello, DTL world. We have Coach Shaken Blake of the Mighty Fremont Tarzans here. We're here with Coach JD of the Clearwater Setterockers. How are we doing tonight, Coach?
Doing good. Ready to get this last group finished off and get this tournament started.
Oh, yeah. We are covering the Koski group. We'll start with the number one seed here. We have Salt Lake City. Salt Lake City. Bills. Deansers.
Denizens is what I always.
Denizens. Sorry, Bills. I actually don't know. Coach Bills fan out of Conference 31. They were NTT team last year. They were seventh seed that finished 18th. They graduate the 1342 class, which contained their starting point guard, Aaron Klosky, who the group is named after, quite the point offensive menace. And then we also have Justin Chaplin, who was in the starting for them. And they bring in the 3278. So a little bit of a drop, but can't complain too much in this league.
Yeah, I mean, they brought in some talent to replace what was going out, but it unfortunately is, you know, a little bit, you know, mismatched a little bit. I mean, you're losing your point guard who is scoring 26 points a game. Now, you're a team that was, you were a two-man offense last season with Koski at point guard, Garcia, the superstar freshman, at power forward. You exit out one of those guys scoring 26 points a game, and that leaves you, you know, I don't want to do the math off the top of my head, but, you know, you're losing, you know, a huge part of your offense. And then the guys you're bringing in are, you know, I'm sure that they're across the board solid players, but none of them are scorers. Andrew Dozier, Jordan Chubb, Liam Hopkins, well, not even Hopkins, but Chubb and Dozier scored double digits, but just barely. So you figure one of those guys is going to be capable of stepping into the lineup, you know, in that small forward spot with a, you know, play solid defense, which what Salt Lake is known for. But they're going to have to win ugly. They're going to have to keep playing great defense. They actually didn't really out-rebound guys all that much, despite having a pretty big lineup. So, you know, hope maybe they can improve a little bit there, take care of the ball. This is a talented team, but more of a blue-collar, work-hard team than a team that's going to be on SportsCenter, you know, very much with the scoring. So, interesting to see what, you know, Salt Lake, who's, you know, by wins and power ranking, the number one team in all of League 31, probably deserved to have won an NTT somewhere along the way. Great coach, great program, but curious to see where they're going to find offense this year.
Yeah, for sure. It's tough out there. It's just it's so many points leaving in Kowalski, and very efficient shooter. Basically, could rely on him every single game to get his. It's tough to replace that, and it's hard. You wonder, and that 6'2", that 6'2" freshman class, if Harrison McCartney maybe comes in. I mean, straight like high school stats doesn't look like quite the player of, and you assume the 6'2" is definitely more Dylan Graham and Garcia, but he is a part of a 6'2" class, so you never know. Might have more with him, at least. Defensively, you know, boards definitely can pass, but definitely not seeing that in the high school stats if he comes in. But yeah, finding points, I'm just trying to click around a little bit on who they even have coming back who maybe could pop in.
I mean, Demond and Curtis had 13 points per 30 minutes off the bench, Curtis with a little bit better efficiency. So I don't know, with Koski gone, it, you know, someone's going to have to play point guard. Maybe Gonzalez slides down since he's, 6'2", and maybe he can be a little bit more efficient scoring from the point guard spot, and Curtis comes into the lineup and can provide a little bit of offense. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably got to be your hope, is that he can do that. And then one of these freshmen, or hopefully, you know, well-rounded enough to be a good addition to that group. And yeah, it's got to roll the ball out there and see what happens. But yeah, I mean, Muncy is clearly the star. I mean, I think that, you know, Graham and McCartney are big. I mean, that class is ranked highly, one because Garcia is awesome, but also just because they're big. And
yeah,
but McCartney and Graham, I assume, are both none shooters because they, you know,
yep,
30.4, and neither one scored a point per game per 30 minutes. So neither one of those guys is scoring. You can't start with those guys and literally have, you know, a point from your power forward and center. That's just too much to put on Garcia. I mean, maybe he goes out there and he's given the green light to shoot every time. Maybe he can, you know, he shot 61%. Like, even if you dragged him down to 50%, you know, if he's the only guy shooting, he's probably still going to score 30 or close to it. But yeah, they need some extra scoring to come from somewhere.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, and Graham, like, being, well, I guess probably 30 would probably be more helpful. Graham was fine. But yeah, you wonder if maybe Garcia is just an oversized small forward this year, and just takes it to the hoop every single time, because he will be bigger than everybody, and already was dominating a power forward. So I don't know, maybe he can get up to, you know, 25, 30, 30 points per game, but like, he's already scoring 20, almost 24. So finding that next offense to replace 26 points per game is a lot. Nobody's clear and obvious coming in. So, or nobody really off the bench is too, but I imagine Bills fans been at this a long time, so he'll find something to make it work. So,
yep.
We end this 2-seed here. We got the Cambridge
Soroka Ponchos, I assume.
Ponchos. Wow. Nice creative name. I appreciate it. We got the by coach BP Top 01 out of Conference 2. And last year, they were at NTT team. That was a common thread here. A lot of NTT teams we've reported on. 6th seed. Ended to 49th, graduating the 18-24 class with both their starting center and power forward. Never a great option when those both are going out. Bringing in the 56-52 class, so drop, but could have been worse.
Yeah, and they're fortunate here. I mean, they're losing the front court, but they signed Jose Spencer, who looks like a really good player. I mean, a 6'9 guy that scores 18, 11 boards, 3 blocks a game. Like, this is a really good guy who's going to be an easy 4-year starter in the front court. So, is he your center? And is there someone else that can step into the power forward spot? Or does he play power forward? And then you either have Hips that's maybe good enough to start at center, or one of your backups from last season. Jake Jones played pretty decent defense, had a lot of size, can rebound. So, maybe he's your center. So, they at least have some options to come in and replace a good front court, which most teams don't have. I mean, there's a lot of teams that are out there Saturday hoping to replace starting front court or big guys and, you know, got nothing. So so they're in a better spot than, you know, probably than a lot of teams are. So yeah, add that into, you know, the rest of what they're bringing back. They're pretty talented. You know, the freshman class is pretty good. There's, you know, a little, you know, the sophomore, the rising junior class doesn't have much with it, but there's scoring on the rest of the class. Young played pretty well at point guard. While there's definitely a step back, Knox was a really great player at power forward. You've at least got some talent coming in and also some depth on the roster to survive that a little bit better than a lot of teams can in League 31.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Looks like from McMyer's ratings, Spencer was 46th on his rankings, and Hips was actually 76th. So definitely nice plug, at least according to his rankings, would definitely be plug and plays at power forward and center. Get taller there, which is always good. Spencer will, you'd hope, is probably more efficient at maybe if he can move into power forward, play guys a little bit shorter than him or at least the same height. He probably might be able to push in that 20 points per game range like Knox was, graduated. but it doesn't look like Hips is gonna probably. I guess Alexander was scoring 12, but really inefficient. So he might be able to make it up there too. But yeah.
Spencer can shoot from the outside, which is a nice bonus to have as a big. So I mean, I'd be curious. I don't know. Maybe he's more of like a spot up four or spot up center than a true post, scorer. But either way, that's a valuable skill to have and add to the team.
Yeah, for sure. Just clicking around, it looks like Carter White had a kind of a rough freshman year. Not a very efficient 51% true shot and 14 points per game, but in high school was a 58% true shot and 20 points per game. So hopefully further development of him can at least mirror what this team was shooting last year, which is almost 83 points per game, which is pretty good offensively. So if they can get some help from Carter, more development out of Carter White, and Spencer can come in and score just as much as Knox, this team should be pretty good again. Or at least not any worse off necessarily than they were last year.
Yep. So
moving on to the third seed here, we got the Hershey Colts, coached by Andrew Luck, 12, conference one. They graduated the 22-43 class, containing three starters: their point guard, their shooting guard, and their small forward, who was basically all their points. And they bring in the 42-66 class. So not a bad drop in the rankings, but losing all your points basically is always tough to come back off of. What do you see here?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a clear drop off from last season to this season, because you're replacing three starters, which it's so rare to even have, even with a good freshman class, having like all three guys being starter quality early on. So having three guys from the starting lineup going out, and on a team that they have some other talent on the roster, at least according to the mag. So there's at least some talent here. So those guys are definitely better than what they were bringing back, but yeah, you got to replace the scoring. And there's not going to be an alpha that appears ready to step up here. I mean, Boone came off the bench and his per 30 was pretty decent, 15 points, almost a 2-to-1 assist to turnover. So he's a guy that's going to factor into the starting lineup for sure, I think. Hopefully one of these freshmen who shot the ball pretty well from three in high school, although nearly 60% true shooting, so they're not like amazing scorers, but they're decent. So I feel like they're probably capable of coming in and providing similar production to what they were doing, probably scoring 11-12 points a game. This team, when I look at them overall, the defense wasn't very good. They gave up nearly 80 points a game, which is just a little bit, less than what they scored. So maybe these guys coming in can help on defense, although the stats don't necessarily indicate that. So I don't know what to think here, other than it will be a step back, because it just will be with the three seniors gone. And they have some options, so I don't think it's going to be like a dramatic drop. But also, it's not a group that I would expect to necessarily like be, in NTT contention and challenging the first two teams we spoke about here.
No, for sure. Yeah, you lose all your points basically, which is just tough, big tough. I mean, James Leal was undersized power forward. 6'3" and scored 13 points a game, pretty efficient. So looks like probably reasonably athletic, unless if his rebounding stats were off the charts. But he had 7.1 rebounds from power forward, being 6'3", probably pretty athletic at least.
I missed the power forward part for him. So yeah, I would imagine he's actually pretty decent. He's probably the best freshman for sure coming in.
Yeah, so he'll probably be playing. I'm guessing he must be what the ranking is, because Torrey Sanchez is a fine player, but I'm guessing James Leal is probably the the 42-66 in this. But yeah, he'll move up and he'll play better. I would say good chance he plays probably point guard. Maybe shooting guard, you know, depending if he's got how much passing he has around laying around on the bench. It's really interesting that freshman class is 52-39 and like none of them started last year. Partially because that senior class was so good, but like even when you look at them, it raises some eyebrows of what the Mags were looking at. Yeah, Anthony Stevens doesn't look like a ton. Caleb Howard is meh. And Brian Crockett couldn't even make the backup lineup last year. So, yeah.
Well, one thing those guys do well is take care of the ball. Really good assist to turnover ratios with those guys. So, and I know the magazines really value hands, you know, probably more than they should. So maybe it's they're not as good as what the ratings indicate there, but they do take care of the ball, and
yeah,
you need the ball to score. So they as a team, I mean, they had 20 assists to 9.7 turnovers last year, which is really good. So that's going to have to be a key for them moving forward. So if the defense isn't that great and they're not great at scoring, but yeah, at least keeping the ball and getting shots up and hoping to get some rebounds, a better strategy than just tossing it away to the other team. So that's
for sure
going to have to continue doing.
Yeah, I can see Ryan Evans coming in playing power forward. Looks like a really good rebounder, and the guy they had there last year was not rebounding the best and wasn't doing a whole lot else. I see that happening probably, and probably Torrey and James Lee will come in and be expected to score as much as they can. Yeah, and then they'll find one of the freshmen will probably come in at small forward and round it out. And probably my expectation, yeah, they're going to probably have to try to improve on defense and hope for the best. You know, James Lee is a really, really good scorer. So, fourth team we got here is the Phoenix Ottawa Traders. We got Coach J. Paul 80 out of Conference 32. We have an NTT team last year, 16 seed, finished 55th, graduating the 76-85, containing one starter and Caesar Wilson, who doesn't look like he'll be missed too much. And they bring in the 10-26.
Yeah, how often do you see the fourth seed in a group have arguably as much talent as anyone else in the in the group, if not more? I mean, the junior class wasn't any good, but take the top three classes, which is going to consist of 90% of your team, and that ranks up there with everybody. Their preseason power ranking number 50, which I feel like could be a little low just again here because you're factoring in that bad junior class, but there's got to be one of those guys you can hide and play, you know, 4 minutes a game and have and do well with the rest of those guys. So this is a team last year, they were heavily reliant on that solid freshman class. That, you know, the two guys in the backcourt scoring over 20 points a game with, you know, pretty decent efficiency for freshman guards. I mean, you can't really ask for a lot more than that. Wolf was a really good player. You know, 2-1 assist turnover, scored a lot, played great defense. William Willis scored quite a bit. And, you know, defense is coming along. He's got okay size for a shooting guard. And yeah, they're not going to miss Wilson. He was tall, but does, you know, nothing impressive all about him. So they're bringing in, you know, more scoring. So they're going to improve the backcourt more. So either Poindexter is a guy that, you know, slides into the starting lineup and pushes Willis up to like a small forward, or he gives you some scoring off the bench. And then Thompson and Robinson are both high scoring bigs and guys that look like clear improvements over what they have in the front court. So, maybe William stays at center, but you figure minimum two of these guys are coming in to start. Thompson and Robinson are starting at either the forward spots or forward and center. And then and that may impact what Poindexter does. So this is a team that I think is taking a pretty good step forward.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Definitely, like I said, like you were saying, two are, I would say most likely they're trying to get Michael Poindexter in there. I'm imagining they're trying to probably moving William Willis down into the small forward position is what they're attempting to do. And then trying to figure out if they want to start either both those freshmen at the center and power forward position. One of them will be playing power forward, though. I would say straight statistics, Quincy looks like maybe just a slightly better player, almost 10 rebounds and two blocks and basically the same efficiency. So,
Overall, interesting group. I mean, it's Hershey, I think, is the one team that doesn't have any chance to win this group. And, and I feel like if they would have, they just kind of, drew a short stick to be in this group. I mean, I think that they could probably perform better in some other groups, but I just think they're outmanned, in this group as a whole. And then you've got the upstart Phoenix team. You have a pretty talented Cambridge squad, and you have the always great Salt Lake City program there battling it out. And so, yeah, to me, this is a clear two bid, group. And, I don't think it's going to be Salt Lake City coming out. I just don't think there's going to be enough scoring. I think they're going to be tough to play against. They're going to be, they're going to grind it out. But I mean, I have troubles predicting this team to get to, I feel like their ceiling is like four wins, and I don't think that's going to be enough overall. So I think you're looking at Cambridge as the team to beat overall. But I mean, and that's maybe just by an edge over Phoenix, and maybe I'm going wrong. That maybe I should be picking Phoenix, but I think one of those teams is going to win, and I could see both of them making it into the tournament.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's definitely some schedule that goes into this, of course, too. Cambridge has the easier schedule, I would say. They play Midland and Los Angeles Wolfpack, who are 101 and 161. They do play your squad game three, so
easy win.
Yes. I guess. I don't know. But
I'll give my best shot.
At least there's talent right around. At least the Vegas think so, at least. But yeah, the two out of the conference don't look like the greatest squads. So probably two wins there. The other ones have a slightly harder. Phoenix hit plays me and Midland. We're not fine. We'll just say fine. Salt Lake, at least rankings wise, has probably the hardest schedule, but we'll see. They play Rochester, Ames, and Daytona. I don't know. Just off the schedule, I might have to agree with you. Salt Lake that Daytona team is a tough draw. Especially with as much score. The England Makers coach reported on them, and man, it looks like they're going to be scoring 100 points a game again. So, tough to see. We'll see what rolls out, but good squad.
Yeah. Good group, very interesting group, and I think it'll be really curious to see what plays out here, and good luck to all the coaches.
Yep, thanks. Thanks, DTL. We're signing off.
Good night.